Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we gather some fascinating facets about flora and fauna as portrayed in Sangam literary work Natrine 137 written by Perunkannanar. The verse is set in the Pali landscape or drylands and speaks in the voice of the man to his heart as he responds to its urging to part away from the lady in search of wealth. Tanniya kamalum thalirum koondal tadamin panaitol madanallol vayin piriya soolndanai aayin ariyadu ondru eidinai vaaliya nenje செவ்வரை அருவியான்ற நீர் இல் நீல் இடை கயந்தலை மடப்பிடி உயங்கு பசி களையர் பெருங்களிறு தொலைத்த முடத்தாள் ஓமை அருஞ்சுரம் செல்வோர்க்கு அல்க நிழல் ஆகும் குன்ற வைப்பின் காணம் சென்று சேன் அகரல் வள்ளிய நீயே. The verse opens with a flood of adjectives for the lady's dresses or kundal and her tol or arms. The lady herself is referred to as Mada Nallol, meaning naive and good maiden. The innocence of a lady seems to be a favored quality in those Sangam times, while Mada is not a welcome adjective today, for it refers to foolishness rather than innocence. Neer il neel idai brings before our eyes a long and stretching path without a drop of water, as is the case of many a riverbed today. Both a powerful male elephant and its innocent female partner make their appearance in Perunkaliru and Madappidi. The word omai curiously refers to a tree commonly known as elephant apple tree, which we shall explore at length shortly. For now, let's head to understand the meaning of these words uttered by the man to his heart. The man and lady have been in a married relationship for a while, and the circumstances arise wherein the man finds himself propelled by his heart to leave the lady in search of wealth. The man responds to the urges in his heart by saying, "If you intend to make me leave the cool, fragrant, flowing, dark tresses and those wide, gentle, thick arms of the good and innocent young girl, you must have seen something rare in that desert path. Those waterless long paths near the dry waterfalls, wherein seeking to remove the terrifying hunger in the soft-headed innocent female, the strong male elephant breaks the omai tree. And that broken tree serves as the only shade for those traversing those impossible desert paths. O heart, may you live long. Only you seem to have the ability to part away and travel to those faraway forests in the mountain ranges." With these words, the man seems to bid bye to his heart in its mission to seek wealth, saying he lacks the strength to part with the lady. Now for the hidden facets in these lines. Contrary to popular advice in many books on writing, which stress that one should use adjectives sparingly, if at all, here each noun seems to stand together with not one or two, but four or five adjectives. This is a unique style of writing, which in this case seems to be an effective tool to bring to the fore the wealth in the lady's attributes. Her hair is not just dark, it's full of moisture with fragrance and flowing too. Her arms are not just gentle, they're wide and thick like a bamboo. The lady herself is a good and innocent lass. The man seems to be showing what a luxurious life he now leads with the lady by stressing on the wealth of happiness she gives him. In contrast, he talks about the path through the drylands where he would be walking if he were to part with the lady. Somehow, wealth in those days doesn't seem to occur in the lush mountains. No tourism there. Or in the coastal regions. No beachfront property. Not even in the agricultural farmlands, but it always seems to pass through a dry scrub jungle with no shade or rest. Perhaps this could be a way to characterize the seeking of wealth as a dry and joyless activity, no matter how the space around looks or what time period the characters live in, as can be vouched even in the cool and moist air-conditioned offices of today. Returning to the poem, the man mentions that the Dryland's path, which is long and winding, is close to a dried-up or trickling waterfalls. In all probability, the man is talking about a dried-up river bed and its banks. On this path, two elephants stride by, a male and a young female. The female is suffering due to thirst and hunger, and the male is raging within to quell its distress. Seeing an omai tree, the elephant pulls it down so that its mate can feed on the fruits and leaves of this tree. Then, the elephant walks on its way, but the bent branches of this tree are the only piece of shade to the wandering traveler, the man says. He mentions the broken omai tree as a metaphor for the lady's suffering if he were to part from her in search of wealth. He differentiates himself from his own heart that yearns to part away and says that he lacks the will to leave the lady to suffer. As promised, delving into the current day knowledge of the omai tree, I was stunned to learn that the common name of this tree is elephant apple, for the fruit of this tree is said to be a favored dish of these gentle giants. Scientific studies indicate that earlier, the fruit was accessible only to mega herbivores like the elephants, sharing a mutually beneficial relationship wherein the feeding elephants would disperse the seeds across the paths they traverse. But owing to the reducing number of those feeding species, these plants have now adapted their fruits to be eaten even by smaller herbivores like deer and monkeys. There is also conflict with humans who use the unripe fruit to make pickles, and this large-scale commercial activity leads to the disruption of that delicate ecosystem. And surprise upon surprise, the trees are said to grow mostly on river banks in tropical regions. Hearing all those facts unearthed by modern day science, our poet seems to be nodding his head in agreement as he talks about his omai tree as the elephant's food on that dry riverbed. A warm handshake between poetry and science, reaching out and bridging the gap between the millennia. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.